I was thinking about what the Lord would have me share with you this afternoon, and after Brother Billy asked me if I'd preach tonight, and I'm thankful that you did, Brother. I appreciate the opportunity to come and just to share with you just a small portion of the Word of God. And I can, you know, we can go ahead and just pray right now and be dismissed and say it was good to be in the house of the Lord. Such wonderful, wonderful specials that were brought here tonight. Such a sweet presence of the Holy Spirit of God. And I'm thankful for that too, that you can come into the house of God and you can feel the presence of God here and present and with us. And I'm thankful for that. But I was thinking about what to share with you tonight, and we live in a world that seems like it's ever changing. But have you ever heard the phrase or the term that a leopard can't change its spots, yes, or a tiger can't change its stripes? Right. Meaning that certain creature, no matter what environment that you put it in, it can't change. A tiger will always be a tiger. A leopard will always be a leopard. And sometimes we take that phrase and we make it applicable to man. We say, well, you know, that person can't change. And really, in all honesty, a person in themselves, of themselves, by themselves, they cannot change. But through Jesus Christ, you can. Because the Bible tells us that therefore, any man who be in Christ is a new creature. Behold, the old things are passed away, and old things become new, right? So one thing I was thinking about, or have been thinking about here in the last several days, to be honest with you, is how much of a difference, how much of a change our world is. I mean, we can look at the way that we live, and it has changed.
Right.
The way that we work,
right,
has changed. Well, the way that we educate,
yes,
has changed. The way that we enforce laws have changed. There's a lot of things that have changed, but there's something that has not changed in over 2,000 years. And I'm thankful today to know that God is the same today that He was yesterday and that He will be forever. But sometimes our world and the world's views has not changed concerning Jesus Christ. If you have your Bibles tonight, I want to ask you to turn to Acts chapter number 4. And I want to look at a situation that's taking place in the book of Acts some 2,000 years ago that we can certainly apply to our lives today, to the lives of what is happening here through in the life of Peter and John. Acts chapter number 4, I'm going to start at verse 13. I'm going to read down through and include verse 21. Acts chapter number 4, starting there at verse number 13. If you found your places there, if you're willing and able tonight, would you please stand with me as we read in reverence the Word of God together. The Bible says here in verse number 13, "Now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived that they were unlearned and ignorant men, they marveled. And they took knowledge of them that they had been with Jesus.
Yes.
And beholding the man which was healed standing with them, they could say nothing against it. But when they had commanded them to go aside out of the council, they conferred among themselves, saying, 'What shall we do to these men? For that indeed a notable miracle hath been done by them is manifest to all them that dwell in Jerusalem, and we cannot deny it. But that it spread no further among the people, let us straightly threaten them, that they speak as henceforth to no man in this name.' And they called them and commanded them not to speak at all, nor teach in the name of Jesus. But Peter and John answered and said unto them, 'Whether it be right in the sight of God to hearken unto you more than unto God, judge ye. For we cannot but speak the things which we have seen and heard.' So when they had further threatened them, they let them go, finding nothing how they might punish them because of the people, for all men glorified God for that which was done." Let us pray again tonight. Our gracious Heavenly Father, Lord, today again, we're so thankful for this day that you've given to us today. And Lord, we're thankful for the services that we had this morning, and Lord, the message that was preached to us this morning. And Lord, we're thankful for these services here tonight that we've already, the things that we've already heard with our ears, that we've already felt with our hearts, and Lord, that you've already spoken to us through your Spirit. And Father, what I pray that you'll continue to meet with us tonight, Lord, through the preaching portion of your word. Father, what I pray that you'll just continue to touch our hearts. Lord, I pray that you'll arrest our attention tonight, Lord, that we'll hear your word. And Lord, we'll see the importance of the things that we're going to be looking at tonight through your word. And Lord, again, for the many prayer requests were made mention this morning and tonight, again, Lord, we just want to bring us before your throne of grace. And Father, we're going to pray that it's going to be your will that will be done. And Lord, I don't know anyone's soul's condition that is here and present tonight, but Lord, I do pray. Lord, I pray if there might be one that is here that is lost, Lord, I pray that you'll give special attention to them tonight. Lord, I pray that you'll speak to their heart. Lord, I pray that they'll come to the knowledge of salvation through your Son, Christ Jesus. Lord, we ask it all in his sweet, precious, and holy name. In Jesus' name we pray, and amen.
Amen.
I promise I'll not try to hold you too long tonight, but I know this is kind of an odd place for us to pick up for a message. I mean, we're right here in the middle of chapter number 4, if you will, and we're really right here in the middle of a situation that's really been taking place from the previous chapter. And I'm not going to spend a whole lot of time. We're not going to go back and review a lot, because I hope and I pray that you're familiar with this passage of Scripture. It's probably something that you've heard preached from time and time again, and undoubtedly some place that you've probably studied from through your Sunday school hour. But for someone who might be here tonight, let me just give you a very brief background of what we're looking at here in our text. We find Peter and John has been brought before this very powerful council. This very powerful council of the high priest and the scribes. They've brought Peter and John in, and they're basically, they have imprisoned them the night before. Now they've brought them in before them to stand before them. And they've asked him, you know, we see this paralyzed man and we see the miracle that's happened. And they asked him, in whose name was this done? And they had told him, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. And so they conferred with themselves among one another, and they came out and they've made these threats. And they've threatened Peter and John not to teach and not to speak anymore in the name of Jesus. Now, I want you to understand tonight that this is quite the stir. This is really quite the scene. If you'll go back and you'll read and you'll study there in chapter number 3, that Peter and John, they were making their way to the temple. And as they were making their way to the temple, there laid a man there at the gate. The Bible tells us that this lame man had been lame since he was born, since his birth, since being out of his mother's womb. He's never walked a day in his life. And this is someone that the people there at Jerusalem, they were familiar with him. They knew him. They knew his condition. And he laid there at the gate and he begged for alms. And as Peter and John were going and making their way to the temple, this man, in layman's terms, he's looked up at Peter and John and he's asked him for alms. He's asked him for some monetary valuable gift. And Peter looks at him and says, "Fella," he says, "listen, silver and gold have I none." Basically, Peter's saying, "Listen, fella, I don't have any money to give you. And money's not really what you need." He says, "But what I have, give I thee." And the Bible says that Peter reached down and that he took this lame man by the hand and he lifted him up. And the Bible says that his feet and his ankle bones, that they immediately received their strength. Now again, I want you to understand, this is a man who has never walked a day in his life. Now, have you ever watched a toddler learn how to walk? I mean, we got some little ones here, and I know that you know, especially you moms and dads, that when they're little, they begin to, before they walk, they do what? They kind of crawl, or they scoot themselves around. And after they begin to be able to hold themselves up, well, they don't actually walk so good, do they? They kind of stumble around, and they try to hold their balance, don't they? The Bible says that this man, that when Peter had grabbed him by the hand and had lifted him up, and he said, "In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth." He didn't say in the name of Peter. He didn't say in the name of John. He didn't say in the name of anybody else. But he said, "In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ of Nazareth, you rise up and you walk." And the Bible says that he got up and that he walked and that he leaped and that he praised God. This man was made fully whole. And what I want you to know and what I want you to understand tonight, this caused quite the stir in the city. The people knew him. They knew about his condition. And now they see him up. They see him walking. They see him leaping. And they see him praising God. And this news began to spread very quickly through the city. So how do you know that, preacher? Well, we know that because now the high priest and the scribes have heard. They've heard about this lame man, and they've heard about what has taken place. And so they go and they grab Peter and John, and they imprison them for the night, and they bring them out the next day, and they begin to question them. I've already stated, they said, basically, in layman's terms, fellas, how did you do this? We know that this man was lame. We know that he's never walked again. In whose name was you able to perform this miracle? Yes. And with boldness, Peter proclaimed in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Amen. Now, why is that important? Why is it the Bible says, look at verse number 13 again. Now, when they saw the boldness of Peter and John, I want you to think about it and remember this. It's not been that long ago that they crucified Christ. And Brother Billy, you painted us a wonderful picture this morning about the suffering that Christ went through and the suffering that Christ endured upon the cross of Calvary. I'm not going to go back there tonight. I'm not going to revisit that. But I want you to remember that Peter and John were there at the time that Christ was arrested. That Peter and John was there at the time that they heard the Jews cry out, what? Crucify him! Crucify him! Crucify him! They saw that they beat him and that they mocked him and that they whipped him. They saw them place the crown of thorns upon his brow. They saw him affix him to the tree, to the cross of Calvary. They watched him as he was suspended between the heavens and the earth, and they watched their Lord and they watched their Savior die. They spoke with boldness because these are the same men, the very same ones that had slain and crucified Christ and could have done the same to them. So with boldness, they said it's in the name of Jesus. So there's three things I want you to see tonight as we go through this text. The very first thing and the most important comes from verse number 13. They were identified with Christ. I'm going to say that again. They were identified with Christ. Look at verse number 13. Now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived that they were what? Unlearned and ignorant men. They marveled. And they took knowledge, listen to this. And they took knowledge of them that they had been with Jesus. Folks, there's a whole sermon right here in verse number 13. But what I want to share with you tonight, as Peter and as John stood before this high priest and this council who were lettered men, who were educated, who were revered as very high people within the religious realm of Jerusalem, Peter and John stand there, and these fellows are looking at Peter and John and saying, you know what? They're unlearned. They're unlettered, they're uneducated, they're ignorant men. And even though that Peter and John did not stand there with any doctrinal degrees, and even though they did not stand there as being theologians, they stood there and the high priest and the council looked at them and they knew. They had knowledge that these men had been with Jesus. They were identified with Jesus Christ. The only way that Peter and John could be identified with Christ is because they put their faith and their trust in Jesus Christ. They believed. They believed that he is the chosen Messiah. They believed that he is the Son of God. They placed their faith in him. They lived with him and they walked with him and they talked with him and they put their faith in Jesus Christ. They were identified as his disciples. They were identified with Christ. And because of this, they were bold. And they went and they helped this man under the name of Jesus. And I want you to look at three verses here very, very quickly because I want to point this out to you. First of all, let's look at verse number 7. The Bible says, and when they had set them in the midst, they asked. This is a council asking Peter and John. Notice what they asked. This is a question. By what power or by what name have ye done this? Now look at verse number 10. Peter speaks up and he says, be it known unto you all, not only to this council, not only to the high priest, but Peter goes on and says, and to all the people of Israel. He says there that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom ye crucified, whom God raised from the dead, even by him doth this man stand before you whole. Now look at verse number 13 again. Now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John, they perceived that they were unlearned and ignorant men. They marveled and they took knowledge of them that they had been with Jesus. Folks, I'm telling you, they were identified, and the question came and the question was asked. And Peter says, be it known unto you all, and not only you, but be it known unto all the people of Israel. We want everyone to know that it's by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth that this man stands before you whole. Folks, what's different than you and I being identified with Christ? Why can we not stand before this world and say, because of the Lord Jesus Christ, I am a saved child of God. Amen. Amen. Should we not want to be identified with Christ? I hope and pray you want to be identified with Christ. Have you walked with Him? Have you talked with Him? Have you put your faith in Him? Folks, these fellas have, and they were identified with Christ. And I want you to begin to understand the importance of the boldness, of the willingness that they were willing to speak. Because we're living in a world today where Christians are not so quick to be identified with Christ. Just to be honest, we get a little bit gun shy when we're threatened. So what do you mean by that, preacher? You wonder why we don't have the Ten Commandments hanging in our courthouses anymore. Because threats of lawsuits. You know why we don't teach the account of creation in our public schools anymore? Because of the threatenings of lawsuits. You know why you don't pray in schools anymore? Because of the threatenings of lawsuits. Folks, I'm telling you, you look at some of these groups like the ACLU and the LGBTs and whatever the whatevers, and what they do is they send out these letters, they make these phone calls, and they say, Don't you pray, and don't you speak, and don't you teach, and don't you tell us about Jesus. We don't want to hear about Jesus. And you know what we do? We say, okay. And I know where we're sitting tonight. I know whether we're sitting in the house of God, and I know we can sit here tonight and say, Brother Bruce, I would never do that. I would never deny my Lord, and I would never deny my Savior, and I would always boldly stand and proclaim the name of Jesus. Now, would you really? If the threats really came. What if they did come into the Jordan Baptist Church tonight. And they threatened you before you leave this place. And they said, don't you go out in this world. And I don't want to hear you speak. And I don't want to hear you preach. And I don't want to hear you teach. And I don't want to hear you proclaim the name of Jesus. We can sit here tonight and say, I would proudly go out. And I would proudly proclaim. But would we if the threats were real? You think about that. I'm not trying to be mean tonight, but I know there's a lot of young people here. But what about you moms and dads? Yes. What if they said, listen, if you're going to go out this door and you're going to say the name of Jesus, I'm going to put you in jail until you rescind or until you decline His name. And if you don't ever want to decline His name, you'll spend the rest of your days in jail. What if that were a real threat? Well, preacher, I can't leave my kids. My kids need me. Preacher, I can't do that. I can't go to jail. I can't lose my job, because if I lost my job, I wouldn't be able to pay my bills. And if I couldn't pay my bills, and I couldn't live in the house, and I couldn't feed my family, and I couldn't give them what they need. And preacher, I just couldn't do that. Is what a lot of people would probably honestly say. But Peter and John stood
before the very men that slain the Son of God. And they said, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, this man stands before you whole. They were identified with Christ. And that's important because of the second point. There was a decree being handed down. Look at verses 17 and 18. The Bible says here, but that it spread no further among the people. Now, they've already called them back in, and this council, and this high priest and his council, they're speaking to Peter and John, and this is what they're saying. They're saying, but that it spread no further among the people, let us straitly threaten them, that they speak henceforth to no man in this name. So they called them back, and commanded them not to speak at all, nor teach in the name of Jesus. Folks, this is a real threat. Now, even though the Bible does not tell us exactly what kind of threats they made towards Peter and John, I want you to know and I want you to understand this wouldn't have been a polite request. They wouldn't have said, now, Peter and John, you fellas, you all seem like good fellas, but we don't want you to, you just kind of lay low on the whole preaching Jesus thing. That's not what happened. So how do you know that, preacher? Look at verse number 18. And they called them and what? Commanded. You ever been given a command? Amen. What do you expect in that command? You're expected to do what you're commanded, right? Amen. And the Bible says they called them back and they said, do not speak and do not teach anymore in this name. And they threatened them. They handed them down a decree. And it's no different in the world that we're living in today. Folks, we just came out of the Christmas season. You know what they want to tell us during Christmas? You know. Yeah. Don't say Merry Christmas. Yeah. You want to say Happy Holidays. And you want to say season's greetings. And they even say, don't pray in the name of Jesus. And Brother Billy, I've been to public events. Well, they'll ask somebody to stand and ask somebody to say prayer. And they won't finish in the name of Jesus. And my heart breaks because we're not bold enough to stand and to defy the decree. Listen to me, this world is telling us don't. But we need to be bold enough to stand on the truths and the foundations and the doctrines of the Word of God. That's why I'm thankful for men like you, Brother Billy, who will stand and will preach on sin, who will preach on repentance, who will preach on the blood, and who loves you enough to give you the truth because he does not want to see you spend all eternity in a devil's hell. That's love. Oh, some people mistake love with some fella standing there with big white shiny teeth and telling you, God wants you to be the best man you can be. Yeah. You just do the best you can. Right. Oh, God's will for you is to be happy. Lying to you. Doesn't no more care about your spirit and your soul. Doesn't no more care about your life. Folks, if he loves you, he's going to tell you about a place called hell. If your pastor loves you, he's going to tell you about sin. He's going to tell you about repentance. He's going to tell you about the blood. He's going to tell you about a place called heaven where you can go and you can spend all eternity in the presence of God himself. I'm thankful for that today. The decree was handed down. And finally tonight, not only was the decree handed down, but this decree was defied. Look at verse 19 and 20. But Peter and John answered and said unto them, whether it be right in the sight of God to hearken unto you more than unto God? Do you get that? But Peter and John answered and said, whether it be right in the sight of God to hearken unto you more than God? Notice what he says in verse number 20. For we cannot but speak the things which we have seen and heard. Amen. They looked at Peter and they looked at John And they brought them out of that little prison cell, and they set them before this high, powerful council. These men with high rank and high stature and great power within the city of Jerusalem. And they said, don't you. And you know what Peter said? How can we not? How can we not? How can we not speak but of the things that we've seen and the things that we've heard? Peter and John are standing there, and I believe Peter said something like this: how can I not but speak? I have walked with him, and I have lived with him, and I have watched him show compassion. I have watched him show mercy. I have watched him bestow grace. I've watched Jesus heal the lepers. I've watched Jesus give sight to the blind and hearing to the deaf and the ability to walk to the lame. I've watched him feed the hungry. I've listened to him teach. How can I not but tell you all about what he's done for me? And what about you? What about you? Have you trusted Christ as your Savior? You've been saved by the grace of God through your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And what about you? Are you being identified with Christ? In a world that's giving you a decree, in a world that's telling you no, where's your boldness? Where's your proclamation? I'm telling you today, I'm going to stand here and say, how can I not? Of all the things that I've seen and all the things that I've heard in my life, no, I've not experienced these miracles, but I'm telling you, I look out and I see creation. Yes. You believe in the account of creation? I do. Absolutely. You believe in what Genesis tells us about creation? Then what about all the things you've seen? Yes. What about all the seasons and how they change? I marvel. Yes. Folks, I don't understand it, but God created it. Amen. I don't understand that how God can put a rainbow in the sky. I know they have all this scientific stuff, but God is the greatest scientist in the world. And God has said, this is my sign that I give to you. Yes. And I see it. Absolutely. And then I go to the house of God and I watch somebody who was lost in their sins come humble and contrite. Yeah. And they give their life to the Lord and they give their heart to Jesus. And they become that new creature. You can't change by yourself. But in Christ, amen, you can be changed. Right. What about you today? Folks, I'm telling you, we're in a brand new year. 2018. It's time that we as the people of God speak with boldness. Yes. Walk with boldness. Yes. Preach with boldness. Teach with boldness. And say, how can I not speak? How can I not teach? And how can I not preach? In the name of Jesus Christ.